in section 5 of Calvin's treatment on prayer, he continues the theme of encouraging us to pray with reverence. He begins section 5 by saying, "These two matters are well worth attention. First, whoever engages in prayer should apply to it his faculties and efforts, and not, as commonly happens, be distracted by wandering thoughts, for nothing is more contrary to reverence for God than the levity that marks an excess of frivolity utterly devoid of awe." He continues, "In this matter, the harder we find concentration to be, the more strenuously we ought to labor after it. For no one is so intent on praying that he does not feel many irrelevant thoughts stealing upon him, which either break the course of prayer or delay it by some winding bypath. But here let us recall how unworthy it is, when God admits us to intimate conversation, to abuse his great kindness by mixing sacred and profane. But just as if the discourse were between us and an ordinary man, amidst our prayers we neglect him and flit about hither and thither." Several interesting things in this opening paragraph of section 5. First of all, again, we need to come to God with reverence befitting his majesty. Second, we need to try harder to concentrate when it comes to prayer. I would recommend perhaps having a passage of Scripture open before you, one of the Psalms. I've often found that you can then go off in a variety of directions suggested by that Psalm, or any passage of Scripture, really, but that God's Word kind of provides some fences for us to keep us moving forward in our prayers. He says, "No one is so intent on praying." In other words, this is a common infirmity that we all share, and so we need to fight against it. But he reminds us that God, the majestic God, he invites us to intimate conversation with him, and so we need to be careful not to abuse his kindness. So you've kind of got these two poles. On the one hand, God's our Father, he loves us, he invites us to come and pray. But we also need to remember at the same time that this is no ordinary man that we're having conversation with. This is the living God, and so we need to make sure that we're paying attention. He says also skip one paragraph and go to the third paragraph of section 5. He says that one of the ways that we reverence God is not to ask, quote, "any more than God allows. For even though he bids us pour out our hearts before him, he still does not indiscriminately slacken the reins to stupid and wicked emotions." At the end of this paragraph, he says, he quotes 1 John 5:14, "This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So that one of the ways we show reverence for God is that in our prayers, we're guided by his word. Now, some people think, well, that limits. No, no, no. If we sincerely use God's word as our guide in prayer, the petitions, the praises, the commands, we ask grace for them, the warnings we ask for a heart to respond to, we have a wide field for prayer. Now, of course, at the end of section 5, and really the end of this first rule that Calvin gives for prayer, which is reverence, he reminds us of something that every one of us appreciates, and that is the Holy Spirit has been given to help us to pray, because there's not a one of us that knows how to pray as we ought. And so rather than being discouraged, let's remember that the Lord Jesus, well, let's just read Calvin, the fifth line in that next paragraph in section 5, "Therefore, in order to minister to this weakness, God gives us the Spirit as our teacher in prayer to tell us what is right and temper our emotions." He then quotes from Romans 8, "We don't know what to pray for, and so the Holy Spirit comes to our help and intercedes for us." Calvin says, quote, "not that he actually prays or groans, but arouses in us assurance, desires, and sighs, to conceive which our natural powers would scarcely suffice." So it should be an encouragement to us when we want to have thought. We want to praise God for his majesty, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice. We feel our need to draw near to him, especially in these times, and yet our minds wander. But think about this. Our Heavenly Father has already met that need that we have for help in prayer. And not only do we have an intercessor at the Father's right hand, our Lord Jesus, but we have an inner intercessor, the Holy Spirit, who guides and shapes and makes our prayers acceptable to God.